Narayana Namaskritya
Narayana Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Devim Saraswati Vyasa
Devim Saraswati Vyasa
Tato Jaya Udiyare
Tato Jaya Udiyare.
Since most of us were not there yesterday, I think I'll probably go through what I spoke briefly and then continue on. It might be a little bit of repetition for you, but you know, in the Bhagavatam it says, saintly people do not tire of hearing the same thing again and again. Swadhu, swadhu, pade, pade. We are discussing the Janmadi Asya Jataha verse for the last few days. And on, I think on Monday, we had a discussion on Janmadi Asya Yataha. Janma Adi means birth, etc. Asya, of this world. Yataha, from whom it comes. And the Vedanta Sutra is very abstract about this. We just leave it at that. From whom everything comes, full stop. It does not even construct a proper English sentence. Right. It does not construct a proper sentence in Sanskrit either. That's how Vedanta Sutras work. So, after writing the Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva expanded and commented on it. And the commentary, a natural commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. And so we'll be discussing this part. Janmadi Asya Yataha Anvayad. Anvayad means directly. Itaratascha. Itarataha means indirectly. Right? So, he who directly and indirectly takes care of the world, he from whom everything else comes. Anvayad itaratascha artheshu abhigya. He is a supremely cognizant, omniscient being. You know omniscient? One who knows about everything. Omniscient, avigya swarat is supremely independent. And tene brahma rida adikavaye, right? Adikavi, kavi in Sanskrit means a wise person. Adikavi is the original wise person, which is Brahma. Tene means taught, brahma rida. Brahma is the knowledge. He taught the supreme knowledge in the heart of Brahmaji. Adikavaye. And that muhiyanti yat surayaha. Even great demigods faint when they come across him. And then we will discuss Teja Vari Mida Yatha Vinimayo. Just by the exchange of Teja, heat, Vari, water, and Mrida, earth, or matter, like when they exchange, this world comes into being. Dhamna Svena Sadan Nirastha Kuhakam. He, by his own effulgence, always destroys illusion. I meditate on that Supreme Person. That is this verse and the meaning of this verse. And Srila Prabhupada's comments, we'll just talk about one paragraph of Prabhupada's commentary. We did it yesterday also. The chief engineer of a complicated construction does not personally take part in the construction, but he knows every nook and corner because everything is done under his direction. Right, Prabhupada? That is avidya. Even if an engineer is at the top, he does not come to the construction site every day. He knows every nook and corner which is going on. That is abhigya and he is swarat. The engineer is independent of the construction. He is outside. But he knows everything which is going on. Abhigya. He is directly involved. He is the engineer. He is indirectly involved because he is not there. You know, he is just sitting in his room and making plans. Right? Similarly, the personality of Godhead, who is the supreme engineer of this cosmic creation, knows every nook and corner, although affairs are being carried out by demigods. We just discussed this small portion of Prabhupada's purports, and we will trace it back to the previous acharyas. And we will read especially Sridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami. Now, just for the sake of clarification, there are several Sridhar Swamis, all of them are Mahatmas, great souls. There is one Prabhupada disciple, Sridhar Swami, who recently left his body. We are not talking about that Sridhar Swami. There is Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Swami, who also left his body in 1986. We are not talking about him. There is the third Sridhar Swami, who was there about 12th or 11th century, that is almost 1,000 years back. And that Sridhar Swami belonged to a Mayavadi Sampradaya, but he was a devotee. Right? And he loved Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, nobody actually commented on Srimad Bhagavatam, nobody wrote purports. So Sridhar Swami was the first person to write purports on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Sridhar Swami quite extensively in his purports to the Bhagavatam. And even Lord Chaitanya, he loved reading Bhagavatam with Sridhar Swami's comments. Right? In fact, at one point when Mahaprabhu was traveling, he had fight with people from other sampradayas because they would not accept Sridhar Swami. So Mahaprabhu loved Sridhar Swami. And Prabhupada also appreciated Sridhar Swami. So we have taken a small portion of Prabhupada and then he will trace it back. I chose the topic of this lecture, Bhagavat, its glories and hidden meaning. So we will discuss on in force. The next one, the qualifications to hear Bhagavatam, that will be the next topic after we finish this. So Sridhar Swami starts Srimad Bhagavatam by saying, Vagisha Yashya Vadane Lakshmi Yashya Cha Vakshasi Yashyasti Ridaya Samvit Tam Nrishingham Aham Bhaje. Vagisha is the Lord. Isa, you know, in Hebrew, Isha. Vaka, Vacha comes from the Sanskrit, the English word voice comes from the Sanskrit word Vacha. Right. So Vagisha is the Lord of speech. He said, the Lord of speech is his mouth. Is Yashya Vadane, on his mouth. Lakshmi Yashya Cha Vakshashi. And the goddess of fortune is on his chest. And his heart, Yashyaste Ridaye Samvit. Pure knowledge is in his heart. Tam Nrishingham Aham Bhaje. I worship that Lord in the form of Nrishingate. And interestingly, most Shastras, when they start with a pranam, an obeisance to Ganesh. Right? Most Shastras, even Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures. You read Jayananda, You read Lochandasa Chaitanya Mangal, you see it starts with obeisances to Ganesh. Even Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu starts with obeisances to Ganesh. Right? But this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Brahma Samhita says that the protruding parts of Ganesha's head is actually the feet of the Lord. And Ganesh gets his power to remove obstacles due to the potency of the Lord. If Ganesh has the power to remove obstacles, just imagine how much would Lord Nrisimhadev have. Right? Nrisimhadev is Bhakti Vighna Vinashak. Right? And Srimad Bhagavatam is personality of Krishna himself, from whom bhakti comes. So, in approaching Krishna, Sridhar Swami first offers obeisances to Nrisimhadev so that any obstacles in the path of understanding Bhagavatam be removed. That's how he starts. And he says, how can this not be possible? Because we are approaching the Lord whose very heart is Samvit, whose very heart is pure knowledge. Right? And then he goes on to explain what is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vishwa Sarga Visargadi Nava Lakshana Lakshitam Sri Krishna Khyam Param Dhamma Jagad Dhamma Namamita. I offer obeisances to the shelter of this entire world, Jagad Dhamma. Param Dhamma, the supreme shelter. Because you will say, well, there can be any shelter. Sometimes, in the Puranas, we see when everybody is in trouble, they go to some demigod. Right? they go to Shiva, they go to Brahma, we are in trouble. But then we will see that Brahma or Shiva actually goes to Lord Vishnu. So, he is not only Jagat Dhamma, not only the shelter of the world, but he is Param Dhamma. He is a supreme shelter. I offer him obeisances, but who is he? He said, he is Krishna Akhyam. Akhyam means known as, by the name of. He said, he is by the name of Krishna. Right? And he has 9 characters. The characters are Vishva, Sarga, Visarga. The creation and the secondary creation of this world. But you will say that how can Krishna have the characteristic of creation and secondary creation? It is the characteristic of the Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it says this book has several characteristics. Sarga, Visarga, Poshan, you know, like creation, secondary creation, maintenance, withdrawal of creation, description of dynasties, right? Description of heaven and hell. These are the features of any Purana. All other Puranas have 5 features. Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 features. Right? 9 of them are the most prominent. Sridhar Swami at least mentions that. He says, but it is not this Purana but Krishna who has these 9 features. In this way, Sridhar Swami is trying to say there is actually no difference between this Purana and the deity of Krishna and the personality of Krishna. Like this Shastra, Bhagavatam, is characterized by 9 Lakshanas. Even Sri Krishna, who is the supreme shelter of the whole universe, is characterized by these 9 Lakshanas. Right? Madhava Umadhava Isho Sarva Siddhi Vidhainam Vande Parasparatmanam Parasparanutipriyo. He said, I will offer obeisances to Umadhava and Madhava. Umadhava is the Lord of Uma, Shiva, and Lord Madhava. He said he is the greatest devotee and he is the Supreme Lord. I offer obeisances to both of them. He says, Vande Parasparatmanam. He said they love each other. They are always together. The Lord and His devotees are always together. Vande parasparatmano parasparanuti priyo. He said, and they are always glorifying each other. And there is a divine competition between the Lord and His devotees, and it's everywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord tries His best to glorify His devotees, and the devotees try their best to glorify the Lord. And parasparatmano Paraspara Nutipriyo. This is the competition which goes on between Madhava, who is Krishna, and Umadhava, who is Shiva. Right? They are the best of devotees and the Supreme Lord. He says, I compose Sampradayanurodhena Purva Paryanusarataha. He said, I have composed this by the instructions of my previous Acharyas, following their footsteps. Shri Bhagavat Bhavartha Dipikeyam Pratanyate. I said this Bhagavat, the commentary, his purports, like what Prabhupada called purports, he calls it Bhagavata Bhavartha Dipika, which means the lamp which shows the inner meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, I compose this. And he says, Kwaham Manda Matihi Keveda Mantara Kshiravadehe Kim Tatra Panamanur Vai Yatra Majjati Mandaraha. Have you heard of the churning of the milk ocean? Sridhar Swami says this milk ocean when it was churned. Where's my watch? When this milk ocean was churned, Lord K. Kurma came, right? He was at the bottom, and they put the mountain on his back, right? And the great snake came and the demigods and the demons came together and churned the ocean. But did you notice that when they were churning the ocean, half of the mountain was above the ocean? Half of it was submerged. Right? He said, and that is the milk ocean. It's a huge ocean. He said, but Srimad Bhagavatam is such an ocean. Srimad Bhagavatam is such an ocean. Right? Where Even Mount Mandara would completely drown. Kwadha Mandamatihi, he said, I am such an idiot. What can the idiot do here? Kvedam Manthanam Shiravaridehe. Shiravaridehe is the milk ocean. In churning the milk ocean, Kim Tatra Paramanu Vai Yatra Majjati Mandara. He said, I am like a small molecule in the ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Mount Mandara itself merges. How can I ever churn the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam? It is not possible for one individual to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is the personality of the Lord Himself. Just the way it is not possible to understand Krishna. We can attempt. Krishna can reveal some part of His personality to us, right? As much as we need to get to Him. It is not possible to understand Srimad Bhagavatam completely, because it's Krishna Himself. And then He says, but Mukam Karati Vachalam, even a dumb man can speak. Pangum Langhayate Girihi, and a lame man can climb a mountain. Yat Kripaya, by whose mercy? Taham Tam Aham Bandhya, I offer obeisances to Him. Paramananda Madhava, Madhava, Krishna, the Supreme Source of Joy. And then He describes what is Srimad Bhagavatam. First He describes who has the qualification to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. This is really nobody, because He is Krishna Himself, right? And how do we approach Krishna? We approach Krishna through bhakti. So that's what He is going to explain now. He said, what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Where do we stand as devotees? And how do we approach Krishna through bhakti? He said, Srimad Bhagavata Bhidaha Surataruz Tarankuraha Sajjanaihi. He said, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a huge tree. And Sajjanihi, the devotees, are like the roots. Skandhar Dadvasabhihi, which means it has 12 branches. This tree has 12 branches. Tat Pravilasat Bhaktiya Alavalodayaha. This and devotion, bhakti, is the wall that protects this tree. You see? Srimad Bhagavatam is a tree which has 12 branches, an unlimited number. 12 branches represented the 12 cantos. And it's an unlimited number of leaves in the form of the glories of the Lord. And bhakti is the fence around the tree. Alavala in India, whenever you plant a tree, you raise the ground around the tree and you put some manure in that place. So that is called alavala in Sanskrit. He said, bhakti is that alavala. Bhakti is the protector of that tree. And this tree is better than trees in the spiritual world, because kalpavriksha in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, they only fulfill the desires of people in Vaikuntha. Right? But this tree actually grows in the material world. Its roots are in the material world and its leaves are in the spiritual world. So the tree of Bhagavatam is much better than trees in the spiritual world. And then I'll go on further with the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam from Jiva Goswami. He says, Tad evam Srimad Bhagavata Sarva Shastra Chakravarti Padam Aptam Iti Sithe Hema Simhasanam Arhuram Iti Tair Yat Vyakhatam. Let Srimad Bhagavatam be explained after keeping it on a golden throne, like just the way you put the deities of Krishna. Right? Tad eva yuktam. Yuktam comes from the word yoga. Yoga also means proper. He said, that indeed is a proper thing to do with Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, this book is so important. He says, Satasostha sahasraischa kim annair shastra sangrahai. What is the use of collecting hundreds and thousands of other shastras? What is the use of shastra sangraha? Na yascha tisthate gehe shastram bhagavatam kalo. If in Kali Yuga you don't keep this Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, at home. What is the use of any other book? Katham sa Vaishnava gyaya? He said, how can he be known as a Vaishnava? Katham sa Vaishnava gyaya shastram bhagavatam kalau? In Kali Yuga, if he does not keep grihena tishthate, this Bhagavata, yes sir, sa vipraha, even if he is a Brahman, right, swa pachadhamaha, he is worse than a person who cooks dogs. Yatra yatra bhavet vipra shastram bhagavatam kalau, tatra tatra harir yati tridashai sahanaradaha. Wherever and whenever devotees and brahmanas keep this Bhagavatam in their homes, there Sri Hari himself travels along with his dear devotee Narad Muni. At one point, Sri Prabhupada was having a program in the United States, and you know, the devotees cooked a huge feast, and you know, they hired a big hall with a lot of money, and they had a kirtan there, and they were waiting for people to come in. Unfortunately, only two people came. There was place for several people, but only two people came. And devotees were very upset. And Prabhupada just went on with his program, did his Hare Krishna chanting, and gave a lecture for two people. And then the organizer came and told Prabhupada, I'm really sorry, this happened, it shouldn't have happened. I mean, you know, there was nobody. And Prabhupada said, nobody? Didn't you see Narad Muni? Wherever there is Hare Katha, wherever there is talks on Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna personally travels there along with his devotee, Narada. At another time, I heard this, at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, you will see in front of the altar, there are two empty chairs, empty simhasanas. Have you seen this?
In the temple or in the altar?
On the altar.
No.
I heard this. You have to confirm this, but
yeah, yeah.
I heard this from two different sources. That once there was a roaring kirtan at the manor with Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada just started laughing, and laughing hysterically at one point. And later on, somebody asked him, why are you laughing like that in the middle of the kirtan? He said, so Narad Muni could not believe that we are having such a big kirtan right in the middle of London. So they came down to see what was going on. He said, Narad Muni and his father, Brahmaji, came down to see what is going on. And he said, but they are our acharyas and we couldn't offer them a seat. So you should have two seats for them. So this is the most powerful place on earth. And they were our acharyas and they just couldn't believe what was going on. So it's an uproarious Harinam Sankirtan right in the middle of a sinful place, which is one of the most important places in the material world. Right, so Jiva Goswami, by quoting Skanda Purana, also confirms that wherever there is Hari Kirtan, wherever there is Bhagavat, see, if you just keep Bhagavat, Lord Krishna personally travels there. Right, and Tama Krishna Maharaj, at one point during a Sankirtan marathon, now is the time for book distribution, so I'll tell you this, his vyakha of this particular idea. He says, the Lord, there are different ways the Lord can manifest. Sometimes the Lord manifests in the mind in the form of a deity. The deity, by the way, is like, you know, of course, is the personal spiritual body of Krishna himself. But sometimes he manifests in the form of water. The deity can manifest in water. The deity can manifest on sand. The deity can manifest in clay. The deity can manifest in wood or metal. Or also as chitra, as picture, as on ink on paper. Right? And he says that these books is just 1 kg, maybe 1.5, not even that, whatever. Apparently this is just 1 kg of ink and paper. Right? But it is like, you know, if we look at it as only 1 kg of ink and paper, it is like looking at the deity of Krishna saying there is just 1 kg of brass. Like we look at Krishna, the form of Krishna, and understand this is Krishna and we worship it. Similarly, these books may look like 1 kg of paper and ink, but this is personally Krishna himself. And by distributing them, we are installing deities in the homes of people. Without even their understanding. Right? And it's very easy to worship this deity. Because if you have a normal deity, then there has to be Mangalarati, Dhuparati, Bhoga, Shayana, and all these things. At least, you know, you have to use 16 upacharas mentally or physically, that's another question, to worship the deities. But so these deities, you only worship by, you know, you only worship by removing the curtain and reading. Krishna says, whoever reads the Bhagavad Gita worships me through his intelligence. Just by reading these books, you are actually doing, engaging in the process of a deity worship. In a different way altogether, but yes. And then Jiva Goswami gets into the hidden meaning of Bhagavata. He says, we were discussing Krishna is directly involved and indirectly involved in the world. Right? Janmadi asya yataha anvayad itarataha. Anvayad is direct, itarataha is indirect. Right? Like for example, if Yogendra Prabhu say made this building, right, that would be anvaya, vyapti. That would be direct maintenance. But say for example, you know, he is sitting in his office and telling, you know, you get the brick, you get the cement, you put the nails. That is itaretara vyapti. It is indirect. Similarly, the Lord is directly and indirectly aware of this world. He says, the direct awareness or direct maintenance of this world is his swarupa shakti. Like we have this internal and the external potency of the Lord. He says the direct engagement with the world is not engagement. He is staying within himself, his swarupa shakti. And then there is a tatastha lakshana, his external potency. So his swarupa shakti is the truth itself. And sometimes we have this ethical question that is it possible to do anything for Krishna? To beg, steal, lie? That was a big question. Probably know better than me. And in the early phases of the movement. Should there be ethics? Yes and no in a way. For example, at one point, Srila Prabhupada got a check from one person. He was supposed to give $1,000 donation. And by mistake, this person gave $10,000. Just put one zero more. And his disciple came and Prabhupada, maybe we should go back to this person and tell him that he has made a mistake. And Prabhupada said, no, just put the check in the bag first. Spend the money and then go and tell him, oh thank you, we got a $10,000 donation from you. Was this ethical? And then Prabhupada said, this person can handle it, he can manage it. We are engaging him. He has the capacity to give. Okay. Another time in Vrindavan, when the temple construction was going on, they were in dire need of funds. And somebody managed to get money from the US by illegal means. And Prabhupada did not accept it. Prabhupada said no. And another time in India, somebody came up with huge bundles of cash for Prabhupada. Right? And he was in a fix. He said, if I don't accept that money, Prabhupada knew he earned that money by unscrupulous means. He said, if I don't accept this money, construction won't go on. If I accept this money, this is unethical. He said, I won't accept this money. He said, even if the construction stops, I won't accept this. Right? He said, you can do what you like, but Prabhupada, I'll give it to you anyway. Do what you like. Put it in the box. Give it to Krishna. I can't take your money. So, Prabhupada showed some amount of satyam in him. And Jiva Goswami says, he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, said, you know, satyam param dhimahi. Jiva Goswami explains satyam here. He says, Krishna is satyavratam. He is the vow of truth. Right? He is satya param. He is the supreme truth. And he is trisatyam. He is satyam, satyam, satyam. He is truth, truth, truth. And nothing else but the truth. And then he says, Dhinjava Goswami quotes Mahabharata, he says, Satya Pratishthitaha Krishna, which means Krishna, is always established in the truth. Satya Matra Pratishthitam. And the truth is always established in Krishna. Right? Satyat Saptam Chak Satyam Chak Govinda. And from truth comes truth, which is Govinda. Tasmat Satya Hinamataha. Therefore, Krishna is Satya. And we were discussing this yesterday. I said, Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, used to say that when I was young, I used to think God is truth. But now, I say truth is God. You get a subtle difference? Previously, I used to say God is truth, which means God, you know, whoever God was is truth. But then people came up with so many definitions of God, I got so confused. I started saying truth is God. I don't know whether your definition of God is right or wrong, but truth is one and that is God. And I said yesterday that you should have actually read this verse. Satya Pratishthita Krishna, Satyam Krishna Pratishthita. Krishna is established in the truth and the truth is established in Krishna. From truth comes the truth, Govinda, and therefore Krishna is the truth. Right? And then Tattastha Lakshana. He said, in the external, the marginal potency, he said, Dhamna Svena Iti Adi. By his own effulgence. Right? And Jiva Goswami says, is it just like light effulgence, brilliance? No, he said, Svena Swasvarupena. When he says, by his own effulgence, it is by his own Swarupa. Right? And then Jiva Goswami goes on to explain, what is Janmadiyasayaka? I won't get into the technical details, but he said, Janmadiyasayataha, he said, Bhagavatam has two levels of meanings. For example, when he said Janma of Krishna, it is not the Janma of this, when he said Janma of the Asyataha, from whom everything comes, he said that indicates not the creation of this world, but Janma indicates the birth of Krishna in Mathura. It's not the Janma of this world, but the Janma in Mathura. Dhamna, Dhaman, is not just the effulgence of the Lord, but the abode of the Lord, Mathura. So in a way, by the whole Janmadiya Seyataha verse, Jiva Goswami explains, Vyasdev is trying to indirectly point to Krishna's birth, pastimes, and glories. Right? For example, he says, Tene Brahma Rida Adikavai, which means he taught this knowledge to Lord Brahma within his heart. Right? And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first books, we get that Lord Brahma was born from the navel of Vishnu. And he was in complete darkness. And he started to meditate to find out what he is and where he is. And two syllables entered his head, Ta and Pa. And he, your name. And he started thinking, what is this? And he started doing tapas. He started doing austerities. And then the Gayatri was revealed, and then Krishna himself was revealed in his heart. Right? So we can say, Brahma Rida Adi Kavaye means revelation of Krishna in the heart of Brahma. That. But no. Teaching Brahma in his heart actually refers to the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, in Mathura. Where one day Krishna was grazing cows along with his cowherd friends, and he was having a big picnic, and they were enjoying. And then Brahma thought, how can this small boy be God? And what Brahma did is that, let me figure it out. And he came and stole all the boys. Right? And it is said, it is mentioned in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that Balaram was not there because it was Balaram's birthday. And when Brahma took all these boys away, it was for 1 year they were missing. Krishna expanded himself into the same forms as the cows and the boys, and everything was like exact copies. Not even carbon copies, exact copies. Right? And when they went back home, suddenly the people in Vrindavan began to feel more love for their own children and cows. Because now they were Krishna himself expanded. Right? And Brahma was flabbergasted. He was confused. Like, what? I kept these boys in the cave here. I kidnapped them. On the other hand, where did these boys come from? Right? And he realized that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, Tene Brahma Rida Adikava, in this way Krishna taught the truth, he placed the truth in the heart of Brahmaji. Right? So Bhagavatam has these two levels of meanings. Anyway, we will stop here and then we'll continue later with Dharma Prochita Kaitavatra. We'll continue with false religions. And we'll talk about the different kinds of cheating religions. The second part is called saints and swindlers. Who is a saint and who is a swindler? And then when we are studying Dharma Prochita Kaitava, we'll refer back to the seventh canto. There are descriptions of seven kinds of cheaters. But that will be tomorrow. So that was with the first verse. I don't want to get into descriptions of Adirasa. I don't feel qualified enough. But if you have any comments, questions, yes.
Gandhi was saying truth is Krishna.
Gandhi was not saying that.
Who was saying that?
Jiva Goswami was saying that. Gandhi was saying that previously I used to think that God is truth. But now I believe truth is God.
Yeah, exactly. He said truth is God.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, isn't that problematic?
Isn't that problematic?
Because you put truth above God.
Yes, it is very problematic. It is very, very problematic because truth is relative. What is truth for me might not be truth for you. Right?
Yeah, there is there is this tendency to reject God because they put truth above.
Yeah, of course. In fact, there has been a doctoral thesis just on this topic. It is called Gandhi's Truth. because Gandhi's truth is very elusive. That truth can change from day to day.
Yeah.
It is Satya, but it is not Dhruva Satya. Right, Sridhar Swami says, when he describes Krishna, he says, Jiva Goswami probably. I can't find it right now. It's here. He said, Krishna is Dhruva. Dhruva means unmovable. He is also known as Chuta, Achyuta. Chuta is like Sthanachyuta. Sthanachyuta basically means a refugee. You know, if somebody is just kicked out of his place, he's Sthanachyuta. And Achyuta means one who cannot be removed. And if we try to understand the truth, you are a philosopher, you've done your degree in philosophy, you probably know it better than me. But truth always is so relative, right? There are so many layers of truth. So many layers, like, if you get into philosophical analysis, you could say, if I say this is Kartals, that's the truth. But if I say this is a piece of modified brass, that is also the truth. If I say this is a combination of chemicals, this is also the truth, right? If I say this is actually not even a combination of chemicals, this is actually a combination of energy turned into matter, that is also the truth. So what is the truth? But Nanu, that's the, as the Sanskrit commentators say, he said, but you will say that Ekam Satyam Vipra Bahudha Vadanti, that is there in the Shrutis, in the Vedas. The truth is one, but learned men call it in different ways. That is true. But even then, by calling it in different ways, truth becomes relative. Right? And there can only be one truth which cannot be relative, the ideal truth. It's a theoretical thing. But if there is truth, like in Plato, we have this, you know, everything that is in the world, there is an ideal. Like you have trees, all kinds of trees, but there is a world of the ideal, less like the spiritual world, where you have the ideal trees. So in this world you have truths, but in the ideal world there is the ideal truth. Right? It's is that in Plato's Republic? Is that it, Prabhu?
I don't know. It's in the Republic.
No, it's in probably the Dialogues.
Yes.
Right? Plato talks about the ideal truth, the supreme truth, where, you know, it's flawless truth. Right? And he says, he gives just like our philosophy, he was like a Vaishnava. He says that things in this world are like shadows. He said, like, just imagine there is a fire burning inside a cave and there are animals dancing around that. Right? And what we can see are not the animals, but the shadows which are on the walls. Right? Similarly, it is the world of the ideal, when everything is pure and ideal. What we can see here are like shadows of that world. The shadow is true, but the real truth are things in the ideal world. And that is our Vaishnava philosophy. We say this world is actually a Chandamsa, yes, you know that Bhagavad Gita verse, Chandamsa, yes, Parinani, yes, Tam Veda, Sa Veda Vita. Urdhamula Adhashaka, that verse. So this is like an inverted tree. So the real tree is the spiritual world, and the inverted tree is the material world. So we see a relative truth, but that is the absolute truth. Isn't it? I guess today is too early for questions anyway.
So
just give me a second.
Yeah, like you mentioned the different examples that you say it's brass, you say it's chemicals. So these are different examples of relative truth.
Yeah.
But Heidegger, he made a point that this way of, or you can say, it's an object that weighs so and so much, and you can, you know, identify things in many different ways.
Yeah.
But Heidegger, he made the point that this way of looking at things is not the original way.
Mm.
The original way is you have to see, you have to identify, for example, a chair. You can say a chair, it's an object, it consists of this and this material, it weighs so and so much, and it has this and this color, and so on and so on. And you can even put it on a computer, you can even define it mathematically. Form can be, you know, digitalized, you know.
Yeah.
But he says this is this is how science works.
Hmm.
It's how they work, you know, by perception. But this is not the identity of the chair.
No.
What a chair is, it's something to sit on. You have to understand the function. And if you understand the function, that means you have to understand there is a person who gives the function. So that is actual truth. So you have to see, in other words, things in relation to Krishna, because he decides what the nature of a thing is.
And you just confirmed Janmadi Asyata.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You have to see things in relation to the source.
Yeah.
Then you know what it is.
Perfecto. From whom everything comes.
And then it becomes simple, because otherwise all the other ways to decide is just bewildering.
Yeah, exactly.
A psychologist would see it like this, and a sociologist like this, and a physicist like this, and a biologist, you know.
Yeah, and those are relative truths.
Yes.
Right? And that's why Prabhupada, to put it very simply in Prabhupada's words, he said, we have to look at everything through Krishna's eyes. We have to look at everything from... And even this, there's the Acharya series, I was looking at it, I think yesterday or day before or something. And Prabhupada was saying that somebody was talking about the universe, and Prabhupada said, we are not concerned about one planet and its politics. You know, Shastra's point of view is the whole universe, is everything together. You know, we don't have the small point of view. Yes, Eddie Prabhu.
Yeah, I was thinking about Sridhar Swami.
Sridhar Swami?
Yeah.
With the commentator or?
Yeah, I mean the original one from the 12th century.
We should probably name him Adi Sridhara. Like,
yeah.
You know, there has been so many Shankaracharyas after real Shankaracharya. They started had to name him Adi Shankara.
Was he playing some role? Because for his, how would I say, I'm in a circle of, not friends, but in his, you know, surrounding, how he was defining his Mayavada when he was doing such a nice, like, bhakti commentaries, or how was his...
You're so sharp that the question is in the answer, and the answer is in the question. But, I'm joking. Yes, actually yes, and that's also something we covered yesterday. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas in a Mayavadi sampradaya. Right?
Mm.
Bharati is actually one of the orders of Mayavadi sannyas. Of course, Keshav Bharati was a great devotee. Right? But at least officially, he was in the Shankara sampradaya. And Advaita Acharya was a teacher of Advaita before Mahaprabhu came. Of course, you know, that is their leader. That they showed they changed. But Sridhar Swami was in a similar situation. He was a devotee, he was a very hardcore devotee, but he was preaching to Mayavadis. He was a Mayavadi Swami. Right? And therefore, when he wrote commentaries to the Bhagavatam, sometimes he had to speak their language. Right? And we had a long 1 hour discussion on just one point yesterday. I don't want to get into that again. But yes, he was kind of stuck in a situation, and he wanted to give these Vedantists, Advaita Vedantists, pure bhakti. But he just couldn't, because these people wouldn't understand. So on an ontological level, he was trying to please them, but then he was pushing his agenda of Krishna bhakti. So that's why then Jiva Goswami, who was in a better situation than Sridhar Swami, he commented on Sridhar Swami, and all the commentaries on Bhagavatam that we have today are commentaries on commentaries. So Bhagavatam we have one level, and then you have Sridhar Swami, and then everybody comments on Sridhar Swami, even Jiva Goswami, even all our acharyas. They actually have to take Sridhar Swami. Right. So, but yes, you're right. Sridhar Swami actually had to play roles. Put on his Mayavadi mask for some time, and then take off his Mayavadi mask, and he was a person with a tilaka. And then whenever another Mayavadi came around, he would just put on a mask. That's how he did the commentaries. Anything else?
So if we think this truth is God, it is not true.
But
yeah, absolutely true. So we can say falsity is also God.
Very complex philosophical question. Well, I never said truth is God in the first place. Truth, anything, falsity and truth are both parts of God. Nothing can exist if it's not in God. Simple. But then absolute truth is God. God is the absolute truth. Right? And wherever there is absolute truth, there cannot be any falsity. Simple, by definition. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. Jaha Krishna Tahanahi Maya Adhikar. Right? And then Prabhupada translates it as Godhead is light. The actual translation is Krishna is like the sun. But Prabhupada translates that as Godhead is light. Mahaya Andhakar. And that actual translation is illusion is like darkness. Prabhupada translates Godhead is light, illusion is darkness.
Nishayans
is ignorance, is darkness. Right? Wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be a science. Prabhupada translates it as, right? That's how Prabhupada translates it. The literal translation is, wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be Maya. So wherever there is the absolute truth, there cannot be falsity.
Even though Maya is a part of Krishna.
Yes. Just like you are sitting there, and there is a shadow is a part of you. But we ignore the shadow. the shadow is really negligible. You are important to me, right? Similarly, Krishna is important. Maya is just a chaya vajasya bhumanani vihartya durga. Ichchanu papicha shesha cheshtate sab govinda magi purushottama ham bhajami. So Maya is just like a shadow of one of Krishna's energies. But since she comes from Krishna, right? She is a personality and she has her own special powers. Anything else?
So you said this, that invocation of Ganesh before, even the Gauriya Sampradaya, why we have that?
Because we accept Ganesh as a Vaishnava. Of course, the point is, Narottam Thakur says, for example, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Koriya Vaishnava Seva Chariya Vaishnava Seva. Anyway, he says, Na Pujiyo Devi Deva, which means don't worship demigods. But something interesting happened. Once, when devotees in the early days, they sometimes overestimated or underestimated certain statements. So in India, the demigod worship is very prominent. In the West, it is not. I mean, but you know, Prabhupada was very careful to point out from the beginning, do not worship demigods. And when devotees went to preach in Singapore, right, they said, Shiva is a rascal, everybody is a rascal. and there was a Hindu council there. They thought, if everybody is a rascal, why are you here? We are happy with our rascals. You know, and they banned devotees. And then when Raghunath Swami went to preach there, right, he was at the airport, he was dressed in karmi clothes, and somehow their immigration officers had some doubt that they are from that team. So when Maharaj was in the bathroom, he just went and, Maharaj was in karmi clothes, and he just went and said, Hare Krishna. And if you tell an ISKCON sannyasi Hare Krishna, how do you expect him to respond? Wherever he is, Maharaj said, Hare Krishna. Out of the country. It seems that the demigods were not very pleased with us. Right? But these demigods are actually Vaishnavas. They are devotees of the Lord. Sometimes they are Sakama Bhakta, sometimes they are Nishkama Bhakta. They are Bhaktas. They are very powerful personalities. Right? Like Indra is always attracted to his throne. And Lord Vishnu actually supports him. Right? Whenever there is trouble, whenever he is about to lose his throne, Lord Vishnu actually comes and supports him. He doesn't say, jashaham anugrahami harishyat adhanam sunai, I gradually take away all your material possessions if I really love you. He does not say that to Indra. He said, no, keep your throne. You are doing well there. And just imagine, like we say, Bhakta Prahlad. You know, Krishna personally came to save Prahlad Maharaj at one instant. Krishna came so many times to save Indra. And Indra is so attracted to his throne. That's the biggest, you know, biggest insecurity in his life. He's going to lose his chair. He'll practically take his chair to sleep. He's so attracted. Right? So these are special people. You know, Ganesha, Shiva. Shiva, of course, is the greatest Vaishnava. Right? So these are special people. So, we do not, when we say we do not worship demigods, he said we do not replace, and that's one of the offenses of the holy name also, is that to think that somebody like Shiva or Brahma to be equal to that of Vishnu, right? We do not worship them as God, simple. But we respect them the same way we respect Vaishnavas, or very senior Vaishnavas, we respect Gurus, right? And yes?
So, I'm not sure if I understood it. There is in our Vaishnava tradition also like a worship of Ganesh, or no?
There is in our Vaishnava tradition the worship of Kali. Hare Krishna. Vaishnavas worship goddess Kali. Right? Example, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Prasapacha Dihai. When Krishna, right in the middle of the rasa dance, he disappears. Right? And the gopis go mad. You know the first person they go to? Kali. Right? And they say, the gopis pray, Katyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini Adhishwari Krishna Bhakti Pade Devi Yogamaya Namastute. He said, Katyayani, Kali, you're Katyayani, Mahamaya, Mahamaya. Right? Mahayogini Adishwar, you are the goddess of all kind of mystical powers. Give us, please give us Krishna Bhakti. Krishna Bhakti Pade Devi Yogamaya Namastute. He said, you are our mother, please give us Krishna. Because these personalities are so powerful, they have. We sing, Krishnesha tamaro, Krishna ditaparo, tumaro shakuti ache. You sing this, right? Krishna belongs to you. When we approach Vaishnavas, we pray to Vaishnavas, you have Krishna, please give Krishna to me. Right? Most other people, because these personalities are so powerful, they control material elements and material processes. Most people approach them for material purposes. Right? You can approach a police to either do criminal activities. You know, police people are always in nexus with criminals. When criminals do something, police protects them. You can also go to a police and say, I am doing this, make sure, at least in India it happens like that. You know, give him 500 rupees and say, you know, I am doing this, you make sure you look the other way. We can approach police like that. Or we can say, you know, we need protection, please protect us. We can approach demigods. They said, you know, I need a good wife, I need a good home, I need a good car. You know, I also need a good bank balance. So, in India, if you go in March, April, January, February, there is Saraswati Puja. And the whole, practically everybody in India, every student, starting from age 3 till age whatever, will have Murti of Saraswati, sit down one day, practically fast all morning, please, you know, give me education. And especially those who are appearing for exams, they put all their books under the deity. You know, bless these books. They put their pen, books, everything, and do nice arati. You go to India, you go to a shop, you have Lakshmi and Ganesh. Lakshmi is the wife of Vishnu, but they don't care about Vishnu. They have Lakshmi and Ganesh. Lakshmi is money and Ganesh is success. Remove obstacles, bring money. Yes. You know, and you go on Shivratri, which is around February or March, you will see long queue of women outside the temples. You know, they all go and do offer Aditya to Shiva. Get me a good husband. You know, and then in Durga Puja, you go to Bengal, you have these big groups of men. You know, please get me a good wife. You know, and when people have kids, nobody will ever worship Kartik. Kartikeya, Skanda, you know, the lord of this part of the world. You know, nobody will ever worship. They think, in India, they think, worship of Kartik is a waste of money. But, if they are having a kid at home, they will get a nice deity of Kartik, it's around September. And they offer nice food and stuff. He said, let my son be like you. That's why they worship Kartik. You know, like, let me have a... Kartik is very handsome and very, very brave. He said, let me have a son as handsome and as brave as you. Right?
South India, they worship Kartik.
Some parts.
It's very prominent worship.
In South India. Yeah. They call it Murugan, but they don't call it Kartikeya. Right? You go anywhere. You know, even Krishna temples. You go... Lord, get me a girlfriend, plus, please, fast. You know, you're the Lord of girlfriends. Right? You go to Vishnu temple, you know, something, and then every Saturday there is Shani Puja. You know, Shani is the Lord of Saturn, the planet Saturn. And he is, astrologically, Shani can, you know, manipulate your life and, you know, get you in trouble. Right? It is said that Shani is spiritually good, because what he does is he slows everything in your life and he trains you very thoroughly, which means he will make you go through trials and tribulations till you are pure. That is the nature of Shani. The planet Shani is represented by a very old deity. Right? An old man, you know, they have been through a lot of experience and they always give trouble to young people. They train young people to go through, you know, all some trials and tribulations so they can survive long also. But people don't want that. They go and offer every Saturday. You go anywhere around India, around these footpaths, they will have a picture of Shani, and it is said that you don't look Shani eye to eye. You don't look at Shani directly. It will bring you bad luck. It will train you off. So you avoid. You just throw a coin and go away. Jiva, but we don't approach them like that. And the Brahma Samhita, Mahaprabhu said, two books. He said, Bhagavata is the Amala Purana. It is the measuring stick against which we understand everything. And there are two other books Mahaprabhu recommended. One is Brahma Samhita. He said, that book has all our Siddhanta. And Brahma Samhita talks of how demigods are related to Krishna. And the other book is Krishna Karanamrita. He said, that is the secret of bhajan. That's of course meant for very elevated personalities. Krishna Karanamrita of Bilba Mangal Thakur. That is the inner mood devotee should cultivate towards Krishna. Right? So, of course, like Sridhar Swami begins with Madhava, Madhava Isham, Madhava Isham. He said, I offer obeisances to Shiva, I offer obeisances to Lord of Uma and the Lord Madhava himself. Right? These two Isha, these two lords. There is this verse, Sadhava Hridaya Mama. Krishna says, you know, the sadhus, the devotees are my heart. The Sridhar Swami says, yasyasya hridaya samvit. He said, his heart is the truth, is pure knowledge. Right? You're saying something?
Yeah. I just thinking, in one sense, it's like attractive to worship the demigods, like, and maybe for it was spiritual purposes, because they are devotees of the Lord, and to go through the devotee is considered to be more powerful than to go to the Lord directly. So,
like, we should take the example of Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was touring South India, right, he sometimes walked inside Shiva temples and had kirtan. And he offered obeisance to Shiva, saying, Vaishnavanam Yathasambhu. Like, among all Vaishnavas, there is a Vaishnava example of Shambhu. And if you want to really go through devotees like that, as I said yesterday night, we should also learn to follow their footsteps. Lord Shiva is so renounced. He stays in the cremation ground, right? He doesn't care about what food he gets. He doesn't care about anything. And this is the example I give. Whenever we see a picture of Shiva, you know, he's like meditating. What is he meditating on? Krishna. Right? We have our full rights to approach Krishna to Prabhupada. We approach Krishna to Prabhupada. Right? And don't you think it is more reasonable to approach Krishna through personalities who are closer to us than personalities who might look very attractive but are very, very far away? Right? Personalities who are closer to us are our Guru, Prabhupada, our previous Acharyas. Right? It's better to approach Krishna through them. It is also possible to approach Krishna through the demigods. But we have to be on the caliber of the gopis. We have to have the same mood, the same level of understanding as the gopis, and then you can go to Kali and say, please give me Krishna Bhakti. Otherwise it will be imitation, not following footsteps. But yes, that is possible, very much possible. In fact, Janani Vasu, who is such a pure devotee, he worships Shiva every day in Mayapur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he worships Shiva every day. If you go to Mahaprabhu's birthplace, right behind Yogapit, right behind where Mahaprabhu was born, is a Shiva temple. Right? Khetrapal Mahadev. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur installed the Shiva deity there and used to worship it every day. And Jananivasa Prabhu does not eat food unless the food is first offered to Krishna and then offered to Shiva. He has that moon. He said, you know, the food is Mahaprasad from Krishna, and then it is offered to a Vaishnava, Mahaprasad, and then you can have it. And then I also remember, I don't know whether you remember, but when I was giving Jagannath Katha here a few years back, I was talking about how everything which is offered to Jagannath has to be offered later to Kali, Vimala Devi. Otherwise, it is not Mahaprasad. And that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's name is Vimala Prasad. Vimala, I said, why should a Vaishnava give his son the name Vimala Prasad, you know, which is the grace of Kali? No, Vimala Prasad is the prasad of the Lord. And in fact, in Bengal, there is a very popular Kali deity She's called Adya. Adya means the original Shakti, right? The original power of the Lord that creates the material universe. And if you go to the temple, they have the deity of Kali, above her, the deity of Radha and Krishna. And there is a Puranic verse glorifying that deity. It says, of course, my family was into this, so I know that. My mother's family, they have this deity. Srinivasa Pramakama, listen to this. Listen, O dear one, with attention. Atta Stotra Mahafalam. This Stotra of Adya gives great results. And then he says, Srinivasa Pramakama, Atta Stotra Mahafalam, Japate Chattang Bhaktya. He said, one who reads this every day with devotion, actually will one day be pleasing Lord Vishnu. Saeva Vishnu Ballava. Right? So, as Krishna says, you know, whoever wants anything to the demigods actually gets them from me through the demigods. Right? But those who are intelligent will come to me directly. Yeah, but if you have that mood that they are Vaishnavas, of course, why not? But if you want something from them, there starts the problem. Anyway, okay? I think we're way over time. We've been here for a long time. Right? Vancha Pasvatarupayascha Prabhasindubhya Eva Chakaritaram Pavanevhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah.